business in down in the valley. We air on the second Friday of each month at 3 o'clock, and we talk mostly about water issues and the foolishness that goes on in the California water world. We have a front page, story in the San Francisco Chronicle, but the Fresno Bee, in fact, probably newspaper all over the state. Yesterday, big announcement by Governor Schwarzenegger and Senator Dianne Feinstein. They're proposing a compromise, $9.3 billion water bond that's going to soak our taxpayers with huge amounts of debts for the next few decades. What the governor wants is the legislature to put this bond measure on the November ballot, and it's going to help the San Joaquin, Sacramento Delta fishery. It's going to help water users. It's going to solve all of our problems. You know, it's amazing. There's a collective public amnesia in California that goes on about water issues. I like to remind folks, you may have forgotten, 2006 seems like light years ago when the presidential campaigning started, but in November of 2006, we Californians voted for a $9.5 billion bond measure. So the governor wants to pile another 9.3 on there. His earlier proposal was $12 billion. Apparently, they have chopped out money specifically designated for a controversial peripheral canal, which, of course, was turned down by California voters in 1982, the North State saw it simply as a water grab by Western San Joaquin Valley agribusiness and Southern California development interests. The $9.5 billion voted in 2006. Much of that money hasn't been spent. The president pro tem of the state Senate, Dom Perotta, says he's willing to negotiate with the governor over this, but we need to spend the bonds that we've already approved by the voters in 2006. And, of course, everybody should remember that a bond is a ill-disguised tax. And also, bonds, when you see 9.3, just figure on doubling that figure. So, basically, we're going to pay $20 billion for the governor's scheme that does include, among other things, two major multi-billion-dollar dam proposals, one right here in Fresno County, upstream 6 miles from Frye Dam, another dam on the San Joaquin River. The governor's plan, and of course it's only a skeleton that we got, and the devil is in the details, so we really don't know where all of this $9.3 billion is going to go. They want to call it, I love the title, Safe, Clean, Reliable Drinking Water Supply Act of 2008. Who can argue with safe, clean, reliable water? They got $2 billion for water supply reliability. And let me give you the language of the governor's press release. This would go for regional water supply and conservation projects that implemented an integrated regional water management plan and to support regional and interregional connectivity and water management. Now, water connectivity means that the South wants more water from the North. I'll try to decipher some of the code language here. They got $1.9 billion for Delta sustainability, $3 billion for statewide water system operational improvement, whatever that means. The governor wants to spend $3 billion. This is in a state that currently has a $17 billion budget deficit. Got $1.3 billion for conservation and watershed protection, $800 million for groundwater protection, and $250 million for water recycling. Now, I want to refresh everybody's memory because the collective amnesia thing is really starting to bother me. This is an AP story from October, 9 months ago, from the Associated Press, and it says CalFed gets called out. CalFed, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a consortium of state and federal agencies. There's a total of 14 agencies, but they are headed on the state side by the California Department of Water Resources, which operates the State Water Project, and on the federal side by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, which is the largest water consumer in California, and it supplies most of its 7 million acre-feet of water a year to agriculture, although a small portion goes to some very small cities on the east side of the San Joaquin Valley and in the Sacramento Valley. The AP story from October says, quote, "The mighty river delta that supplies water to two-thirds of California's population and is one of the most important wildlife habitats on the West Coast is in worse shape than ever despite $4.7 billion in government spending." Now, in 2000, the state government and the federal government launched a CalFed program to rescue the delta. The AP looked into all this CalFed spending, which they said between 2000 and the end of 2007 totaled $4.7 billion, and discovered that most of the money that was supposed to protect and restore the delta was spent on projects hundreds of miles away. While many of these projects were regarded by environmentalists and policymakers as worthwhile in their own right, they did little to help protect the delta, which we're all acutely aware now is in deep ecological stress. The delta smelt, which is a little fish, and the salmon, which is a big fish, are both dropping off the charts in terms of their population. There are a number of causes for the decline of the fishery in the delta, but one of them is the massive pumping of water out of the delta at the big pumps at Tracy, the state pumps and the federal pumps, which chew up and grind up a lot of fish. Now, the AP said, for example, that CalFed agencies initially proposed spending $950 million to eliminate mercury, organic carbons, and other contaminants from the water in the delta that is actually a partial water source for about 23 to 25 million people in California. Much of that delta drinking water goes to the Bay Area, and some of it goes down the state aqueduct over the Tehachapi to Southern California. However, the $950 million that CalFed was going to use to eliminate mercury and these other pollutants from the delta never got spent on that. They only spent about 13% of that, or about $125 million, and produced little, if any, development in the water quality. And as for the mercury, to refresh people's memory who don't know a lot about California history, mercury was used as an agent in the gold recovery process back from between the 1850s and the 1880s, when they were washing away entire mountainsides in the gold country on the American River and in other parts of California. They would use mercury to separate the gold out from the sediments, and they ended up leaving behind as much as 10 times of the mercury that of the gold that they took out. For every ounce of gold they took out, they left behind 10 ounces of mercury, which of course is highly toxic to both humans and fish and has been a big mess in the delta for more than a century. CalFed actually did very little. CalFed director Joe Grindstaff admitted the program's shortcomings in the AP article and said, quote, "Fundamentally, the system we devised didn't work." Now, I want you all to remember CalFed's performance record as you consider this Governor Schwarzenegger's ballot measure, if it should make it onto the November ballot. Remember, you're giving this $9 billion to the same agencies that already squandered $5 billion, and 2 years ago were given another free ride on another $9.5 billion. So I guess when you multiply out all that bond money over the 30-year payoff cost, we're talking maybe $50 billion of ecosystem, water restoration, water reliability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we have very little to show for the first $20 billion. Instead of attacking the problems that CalFed was intended to solve, which was the Delta, the AP story said that the $4.7 billion allotted to the program acted, quote, like a grab bag for the 14 state and federal agencies that have access to the money. The vast majority of money was spent on hundreds of relatively non-controversial projects outside the Delta. And, of course, meanwhile, we all know that the Delta fishery continues to decline. Let me give you an example of the money that $4.7 billion that the CalFed squandered. They spent $118 million on studies in the last 7 years to build or expand dams in Northern and Central California, three of which are outside the Delta. They spent $5.7 million on government public affairs, communications, legal fees, and human resources. Jeffrey Mount, who was chair of the CalFed science panel, said, quote, money was flying out the door from all over the place. Agency officials say more money was spent outside than inside the six-county Delta region, though they can't offer a precise breakdown. CalFed's money mostly went to create more water supplies for thirsty Southern California and to improve habitat along some Northern California rivers for native Chinook salmon. It goes on and on, folks. We are going to give money to the folks, to the foxes that have been guarding the chicken house, the very people that have put the Delta in such peril that we find it in today are going to be the ones that are going to spend the $9.3 billion that the governor wants the taxpayers to pony up. And the problem, of course, is it's really vague and ambiguous on how this money's going to specifically be sent, who's going to win, who's going to love. Is the ultimate ulterior goal here to keep water from Northern California flowing south? And is this all a partial or the first step in the slippery slope of building a peripheral canal? Which, of course, in Northern California, there are communities in the Delta region in Northern California, cities, local governments, which are now passing resolutions opposing any idea of putting a peripheral canal type proposal on the ballot because it would set off another major water war in California. Now, CalFed, are those the people that we want to spend our money? I'm going to turn now to some other subjects directly involved in California's water world. One is very recently, the State Water Board put out what they called a draft work plan for the next 5 years to begin addressing and solving some of the problems in the Delta. This sounds like a broken record, I know, but they keep studying the same thing over and over. It's the phenomena of what I call endless studies. No results. I was digging through my old water files from the early 80s because I'm obsessive about saving all this water stuff, and I found a 1982 memo from a Department of Interior lawyer to the U.S. Reclamation. That was a Freudian slip there. I said reclamation. Reclamation. In which the water board in the early 1980s was considering undertaking another study to once again determine what the water needs of the Delta, which, amazing as it may seem, the State Water Board, despite decades and decades and billions of dollars, has no idea how much water the Delta actually needs to protect the fishery, to protect drinking water supplies. And so they were actually considering the same problem back in 1982, and the Bureau was worried that it might impact their supplies because, of course, they get more water than any other single water user in California. And it just struck me that here we are 26 years later, And the State Water Board is now launching a new five-year study. They love to study things. They never make any hard decisions, but they like to study. Now, in response, the Water Board, when they issued their draft work plan, they put it out for public review and asked people to comment on their plan. Among the commenters was the California Sports Fishing Protection Alliance and the California Water Impact Network, of which I am a director. However, I didn't have anything to do with the comments that were submitted to the state board. But I want to read to you a little bit of the comments on the water board's proposed work plan. The present reality is we have a disintegrating delta ecosystem, seriously polluted waterways, collapsing fisheries, coupled with over half a billion acre-feet of water rights in a state that has an average runoff of 7 million acre-feet. They call the commenters call this a searing indictment of the failures of the state and Central Valley boards to enforce the law. Governor Schwarzenegger, he's got a blue ribbon commission called the Delta Vision Task Force. They came out with a report and said the State Water Resources Control Board, quote, enforces its own laws and regulations poorly or not at all. The task force, the governor's Delta Vision Task Force, also made clear, quote, with respect to the ecosystem, enforcement of laws and regulations is driven more by court decisions than by any comprehensive long-range plans for ecosystem recovery. So what the environmental community says basically is that the State Water Board has been a handmaiden to the water diverters, the people who take the industries and the interests that take water out of our rivers and out of the delta, and the people that discharge wastewaters back into the delta. Because there are dozens of municipalities in the delta region that are allowed to discharge partially treated sewage back into the delta. One of the big hot issues that came out in the news in the last few weeks was the high levels of ammonia, which is a byproduct of urine, human waste, and shockingly, I was surprised myself to discover that the Regional Water Board for the Central Valley and the State Water Board imposes no requirements on municipal waste plants to control the amount of ammonia that is dumped into our rivers and the Delta region. And recent studies have indicated that ammonia has a negative impact on fish and fish reproduction. So the specific CWIN, which is the acronym for the California Water Impact Network, says that the State Water Board's proposed draft work plan, quote, evidences little appreciation or understanding of the gravity or nature of the accelerating disintegration of the Delta's ecosystem, and it's essentially a justification for the status quo. It does little more than imply or promise progress where little exists, ignoring reasonable interim actions that would ensure the collection and development of information critical to the success of any long-term program. And of course, what this all means, and we've seen this time and again, because the regulatory agencies that are supposed to protect drinking water and drinking supplies and the public trust interests in our estuary and our delta have failed to do their job, private citizen groups and environmental groups, in some case farming groups, have had to step in and go to the courts to get judges to make the water board enforce its own rules. The most recent example, of course, is federal judge Oliver Wanger here in Fresno ordering cutbacks in pumping out of the delta because of the massive impacts on some species of fish in the delta, which is what the water diverters call a regulatory drought. Now, let me give you an example of how the water board has time and again failed to do its duty to protect the public resources. One of the causes for the decline in the fishery in the Delta, which is essentially indisputable, is that these giant pumps at Tracy, the state and federal Trump's pumps, are so powerful that they suck small fish, young fish of many different species, into those pumps, and they get ground up and killed. And so we were going to have new state-of-the-art fish screens involved, which were much smaller, much finer mesh, and that would stop a lot of the fish kills. And ironically, those were part of CalFed. Remember, I told you earlier, they were running through that $4.7 billion. Well, one of the things that CalFed did recommend was fish screens to reduce the number of kills of fish. However, the state water contractors, which are the big growers in the Tulare Lake Basin of Kings and Kern County, and Metropolitan Water District and some other water districts in Kern County, they refused to pay for these new screens, which should have been in place years ago. And so what did the water board do? They didn't order the state water contractors to pay for these fish screens as one of the conditions of their permits to divert water out of the Delta. They simply just forgot about it. And so now we're in a situation where the fishery is imperiled and indeed endangered, and it may disappear. The mandated new fish screens, if they'd actually put them in place, would have eliminated most of the current predation. That's another problem I didn't tell you about. When these small fish get close to the pumps and get confused, predator fish come up and pick them off. And there are ways to solve that problem, too. So we will see what happens to the State Water Board's draft work plan, whether or not some environmental group may take the Water Board to court to force them to speed things up, or the Water Board's actually going to start doing its job. We don't know. I've only got a few minutes left. The other big issue in the water world that came out this week was the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation released its feasibility report on the San Luis drainage. Now, what this is all about is the Westlands Water District and some other federal irrigation districts that receive water from the San Luis Reservoir over by Las Banas have had a drainage problem for half a century that they can't solve. They went to court, and the courts ordered the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation to come up with some kind of a plan. The Bureau came up with two alternatives, both of which involve retiring a great deal of land on the west side. And that land not only has major salt problems, but selenium, which is a toxic trace element that can pollute a food chain. And when the Westlands 25 years ago was ponding its water in evaporation ponds up at the Kesterson National Wildlife Refuge, the selenium in the drainage water from the Westlands got into the food chain and killed thousands of birds at Westland and triggered almost total reproductive failure in the nesting species there. The Bureau has now come out with its feasibility report on San Luis drainage, and the price tag for providing the Westlands and the adjacent federal water districts with adequate drainage is between $2 and $2.5 billion. This is for about 500 or 600 growers. Now, what Westlands is attempting to do is to negotiate a long-term water delivery contract, fresh water, fresh irrigation water, in exchange for taking over the drainage problem. The reality is Congress is never going to approve spending $2.5 billion for 500 growers. So what the Westlands wants to do is take on solving the drainage problem itself, despite half a century and $100 million in studies. The Westlands thinks that they can come up with a solution. And in exchange, the Westlands still owes $500 million to pay off the construction costs of the project back in the 1960s when they built the San Luis Reservoir and the delivery canals to the Westlands, the water districts were supposed to pay the principal cost of that construction without the interest. They still, 40 years later, they still owe $500 million in that project. They want the federal government to forgive that project, and that's where it stands at the moment. So the Bureau was under a court order to release this feasibility report on their drainage solutions. One of their two proposals actually calls for retiring 379,000 acre-feet of land, which in theory would free up about 700,000 acre-feet of water. And for those of you who are familiar with the term in the water world, acre-foot, that's enough water to cover an acre about a foot deep, about 326,000 gallons. So we're talking an enormous amount of water if they idled all that land. And one of the unanswered questions in this ongoing controversy is who gets the water that's preserved if they idle all that land? And not only that, of course, is who pays if the land gets idled? Are the farmers going to be compensated? Those are questions that will be confronted by Congress, who ultimately must approve any kind of a buyout of the Westlands or an agreement that would provide them with more water. I have one last little story, which I found greatly ironic. In the middle of the drought, there was a couple in Sacramento who were concerned about the drought, and as citizens, they wanted to do the right thing, and so they stopped watering their front lawn, and of course the lawn died. This is earlier this summer, and what happened was code enforcement officials in Sacramento went out and cited these people because they let their lawn die. Well, the Sacramento Bee published a story about it, which triggered a torrent of outrage from the public and overwhelming public support for the homeowners. So city officials this week admitted that their code enforcement policies may not be drought friendly, and essentially they told the couple that they weren't going to fine them in anything. So that is an irony. I believe that's probably the same rule in Fresno. If you let your lawn die because you really wanted to help the public at large by reducing your water usage, the city would actually punish you for letting your lawn die. Last but not least, I have one little item for those of you who are interested in the continuing saga of the collapse of the Delta. The state of California has a website where they will actually send you an email every day or on a regular basis, and it'll be news about the Delta. And you can go to deltanews@water.ca.gov to sign up for that Delta email news service. You've been listening to Lloyd Carter. This is Down in the Valley. We'll see you next month. Don't waste water.